Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Technical difficulty. You're listening on Wheels Now, and it's another Tuesday night. The Racers Roundtable, where racers, race car drivers, owners, and officials just shoot the shit about racing.
All right, I'm here now.
Okay, you want to start over? Mikey's back, and the mic goes down.
Hey,
I don't know who's the technician. Who do we blame on this?
I think Gary did something wrong there.
Welcome to On Wheels Train Wreck Racing Radio.
Is there a movie called Train Wreck out right now? With
Train Wreck Racing Radio.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. I want to welcome everybody to the show. Regulars.
Irregulars.
Irregulars. New and old. And Justin, hey, welcome. Hey, thanks for being here again.
He's a fly on the door.
Yeah, he's not even paying attention. So could have been fly on something else, but you're better to be on the door right now. Hey, special guest tonight. I want to thank Mr. Dan Fitzgerald for being here with us tonight.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate you being here.
Glad you're here, man.
Dirt. Track racer.
Yep. Driver of the 87N
modified.
IMSA Dirt Modified. That says, got dirt.
Got dirt? Is that what it says? Got dirt? I don't know.
Right across the visor, right, Dan?
Yes, right across the visor. That's been on there for quite a few years.
Oh, see how much I know. Of course, hosting tonight, the one, the only, Mr. J.J. Nunn. How you doing?
Great. Yeah. Fantastic. A little smiling. Tired still, yeah, smiling.
That's good.
Yeah, busting me at work. Real busy.
Still, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Still.
I can relate being busy.
Yeah. So, other than that, fantastic. I'm just watching Gary go through withdrawals from lack of racing
since we're on
our summer break right now. He got his fix and went down to Perrant and Sam Stringer Memorial, so he got a little dose of that.
Yeah, but not behind the driver's seat, see. He could have, though, I think, right?
Oh, no.
We'll get to that in a minute. No. Of course, the man on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Now that we've got this stuff figured out.
Kind of figured out.
No?
You got Justin on the short leash, huh? Just where he needs to be. Hey, Justin.
How you doing?
Did we figure out a nickname for you yet?
No. That's up to you guys.
I'll start with Jay.
A nickname for him?
Yeah, about us.
Well, we like call to call him
You've told me a number of times.
Is that Justin?
Justin.
You've told me a number of times it's a family show, so I'm not going there. Easy.
Well, welcome, but Justin. That's what we got for that. Unless you guys there think of something better, we got but Justin. Whatever.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yeah, I had you back last time I was here, so.
Yeah, then you bailed last week, so.
I know, I did.
I had to cover you.
I didn't even hear it last year. Well, how did the show go last week?
We had people knocking on the door.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
In my opinion, from 1 to 10, I thought it was an 8. It was a good show.
Cool. See,
It was a real good show.
I should just not show up because all the good shows happen when I'm not here. So.
Yeah, but if you would have been here, it would have been an 8.5.
Ah, see. I like contributing that half to anything I do.
We miss you, though. I'll tell you, I'll put it out there over the air. Justin did a great job being lead, okay? But we still need you to bring the show in
and
to guide us. You're
You're the motor.
I feel
tour.
A lot of pressure right
you,
now.
You have to drive 12 miles for 30 seconds worth of work.
Did you scope out the mileage and everything? What it takes for me to get here?
Yes.
For
30 seconds worth of work, then
you have
to
time like, what's taking him so long? What time did he leave his house?
I'll be honest with you, Mike. Nobody could fill your seat in your mic.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree. I tried hard.
Well, certainly not me. Justin gave it a valiant effort, and Gary.
Hey, I appreciate it. Gary,
let me have it. No words. On your head, no.
He's not even going to attempt to lead one of these shows.
Well, speaking of filling people's seats, there's somebody that can't fill the 87N seat, which the only person that can is Mr. Dan Fitzgerald. Again, thank you for being here on the show.
Sure.
Again,
I'm filling it a little bit more than I used to. Now that I'm on summer break, I don't do as much. So.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Is that good?
Belts are getting a little tighter.
Left side weight's getting a little better.
A little too much.
We've got to get exercising again, man.
I know. I need
to start running with the dog.
I need to do something. Need to ride a bike or walking or quit eating something.
Stop hanging around Gary? No.
Mom's feeding you very well, huh? While you're off, you're not running around just headed to
mom's house. Not as active as I used to be. Not running 60 races a year is hurting me a little bit, too.
Now, you know, I guess that brings up a good point, is you're not doing the, I guess, the amount of races, which also leads to in between races, because, I mean, you guys know, everybody here knows how much work goes into the cars in between the races, not just at the racetrack. So you're talking about, you know, nights and weekends and things that you're just kind of twiddling your thumbs, or what are you doing?
A little bit more spare time, that's for sure. I've actually gone to see movies, which I used to never go see movies,
that's
and
cool.
I have a little bit more spare money every now and then. My bank account has a extra column in it that it used to not have.
Right.
So,
we know
digits
that.
Instead of three digits.
Wait a second. You got a bank account?
I have to. My house doesn't pay for itself.
I think between the three of us, we might be able to open up an account.
You have it buried in cans in the backyard.
Yes, we do. Right. And I got another bag in the back of the truck. That's no joke.
Mental note. Good to know.
Yep. And we don't use it for sheet metal either.
Well, the cost of racing definitely doesn't go down, does it?
Not at all.
So movies, it's dangerous going to movies nowadays.
Oh,
can't even go to movies without looking over your shoulder, man. I hate to bring up a sore subject, but the way it is these days, anybody can show up and start shooting anybody.
Yeah, that's so crazy on many levels.
You look shocked there that I even mentioned that. What's the matter?
No, they just convicted the gentleman from Colorado.
I didn't see that. Wow.
Yep.
He's not crazy.
That's funny. Funny, you know, not funny, but it's coincidence that you brought that up. That was just in the news.
Wow.
So that's why you got the look I did. I thought maybe you had time to see the news.
No,
if you have time to watch the news.
You have time to be in here.
And I am here. Come on. What, am I not here?
No, I'm here. I get 15 to 17 minutes worth of news twice a day, driving to work and driving from work.
That's only because you're waiting for the traffic report.
Pretty much.
That you're stuck in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so you're doing both now. You're doing the driving and you're taking on the maintenance role.
Yes, I just got out at 5:30, got out at 6 o'clock. I'm looking at 7 o'clock tomorrow.
I feel the pain.
Running my tail off. But that's okay.
Well, if you weren't doing that, you'd be hanging out and doing
I'd be going
Dan's
to movies with Dan.
Yeah, hanging out at the movies.
Eating bonbons.
Bonbons and popcorn, you know.
Doing something.
No, I wouldn't have that extra money. Gary would be spending it for me.
He has no problem spending your money, does he?
Yeah, it was another $350 weekend on that car. That's exactly what I laid
didn't
out.
Didn't Mike
Saturday
say racing
Sunday.
Ain't going down any?
It keeps going up, and the more cost goes up, the more friends you have to get to help pitch in.
So, Yep, another $350.
That's why I don't have enough friends. I have race cars.
Exactly.
We took a couple weeks off concentrating on Gary's car, all right? Pulled the motor and the transmission. And if anybody's on Gary's Facebook, he knows, put a picture up, the train wrecks continues. Okay, so we finally this past, you know, left mine up there, wanted to take care of Gary's and Arlie's car, also lost transmission. So we go to take my car off. I figured, okay, one day we should knock it out, nut and bolt it, gunk the engine, clean it up, make sure all the fluids, change the oil, put it back on the trailer. One day, 6 hours we'll spend on it. Wouldn't come off the trailer.
Oh.
Backing it up, run the engine, all of a sudden, no brakes.
Oh, no way.
Wow. Yeah, brakes lock up. Put it in neutral. Doesn't go. Yeah. Oh, yes, Houston, we have a problem.
A big problem.
Back it up the rest of the way, just comes off the ramps, no pedal, brake fluid all over the ground.
Oh, no way. Did it keep going down the street?
No. Hacienda.
Yeah. Made in Nellis or something.
No. At least this time, the Dodge wasn't going to become a victim of me backing into it like we lost it off the trailer last time. So
I don't think I heard that story, but we'll
yeah. Yeah, I don't think I heard that story. That ended up in a couple broken ribs.
I heard that story.
Yeah, that's the story. So we go driving in, take the wheel off. Caliper locked up.
Oh.
Two rotors, bearings, two calibers. What else we got put on that thing?
Everything.
Also,
Here, Gary and I, great, we're going to knock this out, get it set up, put it on the trailer. The only thing we have to do is fill it up with gas a couple weeks, check the straps, and go.
Well, these cars don't like sitting, do they? They like to be moving all the time, too.
So how much do you think this is going to cost, Gary? $350 later Sunday. Okay, after we start calling around for prices and everything. Mm-hmm. That's it. So there it sits.
Oh, hey, part of racing are the woes of racing.
There's a lot of those.
Well, you know what, Dan, you're no stranger this year to the woes of racing, are you? Because from my understanding, you have actually tried to race this year.
I've tried to race a few times. A five-race stretch where I got rained on partway there. Truck broke down another time.
Oh, geez.
I think the truck's broken down on me twice. Do
you have a Ford?
Lots of different things. I do have a Ford
That don't break down.
No, it's a Ford Escort.
Okay.
95.
That was the defense.
Some Corvette tried to race me on the way here, and I'm thinking, geez, you're like a 2010 model Corvette, and I'm a 1990 Escort. Do you seriously think I'm going to try and race you and embarrass you in front of everybody? He was going to lose anyway.
I'm kidding.
Seriously. If you can't beat him, wreck him. He's going to get spun out or something.
Is that what's outside?
That's it.
Is that front wheel drive?
That's
it.
Is.
There you go. No idea.
Hey, we got a new skid car.
We're about the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th people to tell me that.
How many is it going to take for you to actually convert it to
never
10 more?
Never. That's okay. Not going to happen. It's the only thing I have that's very reliable at the moment.
And that's a what car?
Ford.
Yes.
Okay. Just he's not talking crap about Ford. My Ford truck is broke down right now.
Well,
so
let's consider the
5 minute break. I can make a phone call, and don't worry, Dan, I can give you a ride home if it's not out there.
Or you'll be driving home on skids.
That would take me days.
Wow. So you've gotten rained out. Going to which track?
It was just going to be over the hump to Pahrump.
Okay.
So I got the Blue Diamond and.
And
pouring rain. And
well, luckily you didn't get over the hill, right?
True. And then a couple of times got on the road and my truck started the check engine light thing and all the other good things. So that thing's been worked on a lot this summer. Of course, it's paid for.
And
what
kind of truck is that?
It is a Chevrolet.
Okay.
It is a Chevrolet.
Is it a diesel or gas?
It is a diesel.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I was just going to buy a Chevy diesel.
Well, maybe it's got 125,000 miles on it, so
it's not bad.
It had been you know, as soon as you get something paid off, then
I know.
But it's been paid off for a while, so I guess I've escaped that jinx for a little bit of time, but lately it's starting to pile up. I threatened to just go buy a motorhome and tow my race car with a motorhome, and then I don't have to worry about driving back because I go out and back no matter where I go, and the crew's not too pleased with 4 a.m. returns.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Sounds like you're having a year like we're having, man.
When I think about Gary, I think about my 2002 season where I blew up the same motor 5 consecutive weeks.
Wow.
And I drove all the way to Phoenix those 5 weeks to do it because I had a winter series every weekend. And we were having lots of different issues, fueling issues and all of that, and broke the same motor 5 consecutive weekends.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah, brought it back. Jerry fixed it, put it back in, took it back down, blew it back up. And made for a very long drive home. Very quiet.
Not quiet ride home, but
and
four times a long quiet ride home.
Very, very quiet ride home.
You made for some long 5 weeks, too, didn't
it? Definitely
was
did.
Was the sixth time a new motor? Or?
No, that one lasted for quite a while. Yeah, I was questioning my sanity after a while.
Well, you talk about buying a motorhome. We had a good hour conversation Sunday about buying boats.
Yeah.
Just scrap the season. Let's all chip in, get a boat. I think even somebody said, I wonder if I could sell all these and just go buy a boat outright.
I thought those were boats out there you guys are racing.
We're talking the ones that go to the lake.
Oh, okay. Lake
the ones that float.
Well, yeah, ones that float.
Yeah. The ones that go to the lake, those boats run. Right now, none of these do.
You could probably have a timeshare boat.
Yeah, they
each go in enough to have your own month.
Everybody take it out their own.
Yeah.
It'll be cheaper.
I've got one.
Way cheaper.
I don't think so. Anybody who has a boat knows boats are not going to be cheap.
All I know, Sunday, I shell that $350. Any boat place will take that as a down payment as far as I'm concerned. They'll hold it in the lot for me until I come back with the rest or finance it.
Unbelievable.
Yep, that's the way the season be going. So, Dan, we can identify with, really, I'm glad. I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm glad we're not
the
only
ones
going.
Misery loves company. Misery loves company.
It is. Yeah. It's not just it's all divisions. Whatever you race, you're going to have those moments. I don't care what it is.
Makes the heart feel better when
and
you know someone else suffers.
Right. Yeah.
And it's all unexpected stuff that we have absolutely no control over.
Well, and you said your personal vehicle stopped just a couple times, you know, and that's something you don't expect. I mean, and we've talked about that before. Sometimes, like, we do maintenance on our race cars and stuff, and I'm not saying that that's an issue with yours, but sometimes we neglect our tow vehicles and things, and, of course, Gary knows better than anybody. Trailers probably get neglected some of the most, the bearings and things. So.
Yep. Well, that's something that Gary did accomplish is our trailers are up to snuff, aren't they, all of them?
Yes, they are.
Did Gary
well, there's no weight on
that.
There's no weight on them anymore. Nothing to haul around.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Way to cover that one, Mike.
And if there is weight on it, it's broken weight.
Broken weight.
That's right. Dead weight.
Dead weight, yeah. But you did actually make it, Dan, to some races.
I did. I've raced. Well, I think I raced 3 times in the month of July, June, early July. Raced 3 times. That's more times than I've raced probably in the last 8 or 9 months
is
combined. Yeah, definitely.
Where'd you go?
I hadn't raced for so long, and I was having such an issue getting somewhere that I decided to go over to Tonopah to race. And, of course, there wasn't very many cars like I expected, but at least I got to rent the car. And
that might be a good thing, to get out there with
sometimes it is, and especially as the more you're out of the car, things, you know, that when you're in the car, things slow down quite a bit, but when you're out of the car for a while, it seems like things get a little bit faster than what you remember. And so I went there, and then I went to Delta, Utah to race, and then I did the Stringer Memorial.
Delta Track, I've never been there.
Is that a
half mile, quarter mile?
It's it's a quarter, I guess. Straightaways are pretty long compared to what tracks are here, but the turns are really sharp and narrow, so it's a real stop-and-go kind of a racetrack. And now I'm running the crate motor, so it's really not that conducive to running a crate because it's a stop-and-go, and crates need a little bit of momentum to
wind
to
up.
Go better. Yeah. But really nice track run by a couple of guys who do race, and it's through the city.
That's at the fairgrounds at mm-hmm. Delta? Okay.
Yep, and they run a really quick, efficient show. There was a couple of times I raced up there, drove the 300 miles there, raced, loaded, drove the 300 miles back, and I was actually home before the races were finished in Pahrump that same night.
Oh, wow. Is that funny?
So it was, wow. But I do gain an hour going, so I guess, you know, that gives a little bit of a thing.
I mean, that was like just before Salt Lake, isn't it, like kind of on your way up that
yeah,
way?
It's 300 miles from here, so it's,
okay.
I can't think of all the towns that are there,
yeah.
But it's, Nephi, I think, is one of the ones that's close to where it is, so it's around Nephi. But you have to get off the 15 to get to it.
Is that a track you frequent often, like in the past?
I've gone there at least once or twice a year for the last couple of years.
Hmm.
It's well worth the drive just because they treat you so nice. Then the show runs so smoothly and you're just in and out and everything goes. Everyone, and I guess that's just because I'm not there all the time. When you race at a track all the time, you get the drama and the politics and you get drug into all the stuff. And, you know, when you just go in and say, hey, how's everyone doing? And then you race and you go home, you don't really have to worry about all the other stuff. And everyone that races clean, knock on wood, I've never been torn up there. I always have a straight race car when I leave. The only bad thing is they make you run mufflers. Race cars don't have mufflers, but there's houses not too far from the pits, so I guess, you know, kind of have to pay to play.
Yes, city restrictions.
Is that an IMCA sanction?
It is.
Oh,
it
okay.
is. I try to stay with IMCA sanction if I can, just because the insurance and all that other stuff that goes with it, and the rules, and you have avenues if some strange things happen, you have recourse if something goes
on. That makes sense. Being an IMCA member, of course, you want to try to frequent the IMCA member tracks and all that. So,
what other divisions run up there at Delta?
They have super stocks, hobby stocks, you know, and these names of classes really are difficult to say because when you say a super stock, people have five different images of what a super stock is.
Yeah,
you know, is it a pro stock? Is it a street stock? Is it a... but they have those. They have hobby stocks. They have a truck class, full-size, older-style pickup trucks. Yeah, they have those there. They run the kids with the little carts. And then they have sport mods.
Yeah, cool. Hobby stocks, I don't know.
You're
bombers,
for,
I mean,
you're
bombers,
looking for somewhere to take bombers, aren't you?
Hey,
I know
man,
what you're thinking.
What can I tell you?
Yeah,
you
I'm
know.
Sure you could go run up there in the hobby stocks. I think you'd be at a disadvantage because the hobby stocks they have there are smaller cars.
108
they
wheelbase.
They have some Camaros. And,
yeah.
And
that's
that.
108.
And I think the difference is a carburetor and maybe tires. You know, some of the places are pretty smart. They try and make their classes where it's just a couple of adjustments from one to another,
track,
where you change a carburetor, you change tires, and you can go up to the next division. So it allows for that flow up a little bit easier than other tracks. So, you know, I think it's good and bad that the classes are so close. The only bad thing I see is that, you know, Camaro drives on the track this time, and it's called a hobby stock, and then...
Right.
The same looking Camaro drives out for the next main event, and this is now a super stock, and the fan is a little confused as to why does that car and that car look the same but not compete against each other.
Right.
So,
and you know, I've seen that like even with the modifieds and out at Pahrump and stuff, the super stocks, you know, they with the slab, you know, bodies. A lot of fans in the stands don't know the difference, you know, but there's quite a bit of difference in the two. Types of cars.
There is, and it's unfortunate when they get them to look so close that, you know, the fans don't make that connection between what's the difference between them. And then when the car counts are a little bit low, then that question comes up a little bit more in the fans' eyes as to, well, that class only had three, and this class, it looks just like them, only had four.
Why didn't she
just put them together and have one bigger race with more cars? And I can understand that, but I can also understand the tracks trying to give everyone a chance to race their car in the division that they want to race it in. It just kind of sometimes takes away from the fans a little bit in that they don't quite understand where those cars belong.
Now, with the racing that you actually got in this year, one of the races you just got done was pretty recent. Was it this past weekend?
Sam Stringer Memorial.
Sam Stringer at Valley Speedway 2 weeks ago. You want to tell us a little bit about getting in the seat and that thing? They have a good car count. You guys went out to watch it.
19
cars.
They had a really good field.
Not IMCA sanctioned, though.
No.
On that track anymore.
No, not IMCA sanctioned, but close to home and something that I'm familiar with. And then Sam, I knew Sam for a really long time and now race against his kids. So I wanted to go up there the year before. I was out of town and wasn't able to go, so I really wanted to go. And a friend of mine, Levi Kiefer, was coming back to race that event, and he brought Kyle Heckman with them, and I knew that there was going to be some competition there, and it would have been fun to race against a lot of cars. So, you know, it's always good to go to an event like that.
You go back a long way with Levi.
I do. We actually race, you know, you were talking about your cars being boats. We raced boats together back in the day. They were actually street stocks, but I had a Ford Torino, and he had one of the older model Monte Carlos, the big, longer Monte Carlos, and we raced those for a couple of years together in those cars and got the crap beat out of us for a while until we figured out what we were going to do and how we were going to get a little bit better. And then we just moved to modifieds together, and it just seemed like we've been racing together ever since. And now looks like his son is coming up again, and it's not really someone I want to race against just because of the whole concept of, you know, gosh, I have to race against your kid. That's, I can remember when he was born. That's sad.
You're always on age. How old are you?
I'm old enough to know that.
How old are you?
I'm old enough to know.
We found that out back in, what, 2010?
It's just weird because I don't view myself as old as what my number says. I'm in my 40s, but I've been racing I've been racing since I was six, so I mean, you know, I've been racing longer than quite a few people have been alive, so it's just...
That's not old, though.
I know. It's just, to me, it just seems like at some point, you know, because I don't have kids of my own, and so I'm not transferring my driving seat over, and some of these people have, and I'm just thinking, is this crazy that I'm still going? You know, Thane's wife... mentioned on Facebook, you know, Thane's older than you and he's still doing it. And I raced with Thane at the Bullring, that's not the Bullring, back when it was, the Speedrome. And I raced against Thane back then. He was in a Torino, something like that, and I was in a Maverick.
That's funny.
Cool. Those days are fun to remember, you know. Things were a lot different back then, of course, you know.
That's when the seating was on the other side, too.
It was.
The wooden
on the back stretch.
On what's now the back stretch. Yeah, it was lots of fun memories there. But, you know, when you see things going through and the cycle coming through, you think, gosh, am I out of cycle here? Because I can't talk to those kids about racing a car, you know, where I could walk up to Levi and talk about, hey, the car's doing this or the car's doing that. And then you go up to this 12-year-old and you're talking to them about, you know, the same thing in your car, and you just realize I've seen a lot of things go through that this 12, 13, 14-year-old hasn't, and he's 10 times braver than what I am right now.
I guess Gary and I can identify with that. We had a 7-year hiatus from
LVMS,
and we go back, and I mean, we got kids that are 10, 11, 12 years old, and they come up, hey, how are you? How's everything? And then you see their mom, and I was like, great, 7 years? I said, that's him? Yeah.
here's my other two. Right, Gary?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden we're like, wow, we're old. Then we go to the driver's meeting, and then we find out, we see all these
kids. You hear the names, but they're not the people you think they are. Yeah. The kids are the people who they were. Right.
They're not in Bandoleros. They're running super lates and super stocks, and me and Gary looking at each other. I'm like, oh, man, did we get old? So I can identify the way you feel with that.
And that kind of thing was unheard of when I was growing up. Kids didn't move to the faster classes immediately. They didn't go to, you know, they just didn't move up. Really, you know, if you were 16, you were in the beginner dumper division, and that's what you were doing until you learned how not to crash a thing and figure things out. So, and now,
I'm still in the beginner dumper division.
Well, wait till you grow up so you can move up.
You've been waiting an awful long time for that to happen.
Yeah. I guess I shouldn't have felt like that.
No.
No, that class is a beginner class, but it's also an entertainment class and all that. Yeah. It is made as a
You know what? I started in 01 when that class was started, and I'm still there. I'm a bomber driver. That's what I enjoy. That's what I love doing. I don't have the talent to move up. Okay, moving up for me was when Gary put me in a demolition derby car. Okay, just to direct me, no, we're not wrecking the cars anymore, JJ. You know,
going in circles.
So, you know, that's all I know. I'll never move up. That's what I'm happy with. It was a beginner's class. Okay, it still is a beginner's class, an entry level class. And it doesn't bother me in the least.
That's what's nice about a class like that, is that it can be, you know, both. You can use it as a stepping stone, or, you know, if that's what you can afford, or if that's what you like
to do. I'm at the age, so you say 40, always. I'm 55. I'm at the age, I'm having fun.
Yeah, and that's what I'm struggling with
now. That class is. Yes, is it competitive? Very competitive. Can I still handle myself and have fun? I mean, super stock, sorry, I don't have budget for, but it's just too much for me.
Well,
you know.
The racing today is different with the younger kids. They're, like Dan said, you know, they're in these full-size cars and stuff, but look what they're starting in now. There's avenues like Bandoleros and different.
Yeah, they're coming
divisions.
Out of carts, going to Bandoleros, going to Legends. 600 Racing has made that available.
And they're more aggressive because, you know, you got no fear when you're that age until...
There wasn't that avenue when I was growing up. There wasn't any of these things. There was, you waited until you were 16, and in my case, in Levi's case, we were 16, and we got thrown into street stocks, which are very similar to what super stocks are now. We didn't have a bomber class to start out in and figure out what the flags mean and figure out how to turn left and use the brakes and not use the brakes and those sorts of things, whereas these kids come in now 12, 13, 14 years old, and they have the experience level of someone who's raced 10 years because they've raced so often, so much in so many different things. You know, I think back to when Kyle Busch was around.
Right.
There's nights that he would race every single class that was at the track that night. He would get out of one, get into the other, get out of one, get into the other, get out of one, get into the other. Then most of the features that he was in. And that you can't beat that kind of experience.
No, yeah,
I mean, you've got all that experience, those different kinds of cars, that different car control, and that young mind absorbing all of that. I mean, they're gonna skyrocket. They're gonna be, and that's where I'm struggling right now. Is, you know, I worked so hard to get to where I wanted to. You know, I wanted to win so bad. I wanted to be on top of the game. I wanted to win. That's just what I wanted to do. And now that I've gotten a little bit older, and you talked about having fun.
Right.
I'm struggling with, can I have fun? Can I go out there and finish fifth and say,
fun.
Oh, that was fun?
Yeah, that's the
you know,
point.
The competitive side of me says, that sucked really bad to go finish fifth tonight. You know, I mean, that's really tough for me it's really tough for me to do after working that hard. And a lot of people have, you know, told me this is the time where you just need to go and have fun. You need to race places that you want to race and enjoy the experience and all of that. And, you know, the selfish side of me just says, I really like to win. I really want to do that. And, you know, I don't know that I have the funds to do that kind of racing anymore because you have to be in the car all the time in order to be competitive and stay ahead of the game. And it's a tough decision right now as to, you know, is it fun to go and race and finish fifth or sixth or eighth or ninth? Or is it okay to just say, yeah, I did well and I'll
maybe help somebody else or something. Have you tried to do that?
I've tried, you know, thought about that whole thing. I just don't know that I could watch somebody else go around the track in my own car. Very selfish.
Dan's at a crossroads right now, so.
He is.
He's on the bridge. It's a hard transition.
It really is.
To say...
And here's a man that has over 700 races under his belt.
I can't identify with 700 races. I can identify with 17. Okay, and just to get to that point, you know, and I'll bring the age factor in back in again at 55 years old. Do I want to be competitive, or for me it was, do I need to win? That's the question that you need to ask yourself. Do I need to win? Do I need to dedicate 100% all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did that for a number of years. I enjoyed the winning aspect. Okay? But for me, Trent, I am happy that I'm out on the track. Gary will tell you. Putting the car together. Do I have to win anymore? No. Do I need to be on the track for that adrenaline? Yes.
Yeah, you all have different drives.
It comes to the final question, Dan, for me, was do I need to win? Obviously, I'm not anymore.
I was. Wait a minute, we got a new weight rule coming in. We'll talk about in a minute. That might give you a chance.
At least I was in Pahrump. You know, I knocked off at 54 years old. I knocked off two races. But
let me tell you, Pahrump, you're the best one that can drive backwards. I can tell you that much.
With the trunk open, exactly. I guess I still enjoy just the whole experience working on the cars, getting ready, race day, loading them up. Going down there, you know, surrounding. I mean, the next thing for me is to step out of the car and own it and put somebody in it. And I have done that, you know, once before. Got better and got back in the car, but it's a transition. It's, you know, I mean, for you, a lot harder because you always run up front. 700 times.
Here's what I think you guys need to do. Rewind a little bit. Gary, get your things rolling here. Get your demo car going again, and let's rewind and let Dan get into a demo car again.
His head is shaking already.
And knock your senses back into him.
I retired in perfection. One star and one win.
You're good with that.
Okay. It is proof that the world protects idiots.
Hey,
I have no business.
If I'm not mistaken, on the standing right next to the car, you said you're done and you'll never do it again.
Exactly.
He stands by it, I guess.
I know.
Yeah, I'm trying, guys.
I know when I escaped death, and that. I swear, Billy and JJ were just running interference for me, and I, you know, managed to win. Because when that black car came out of nowhere and clobbered me a good one, I don't think I've ever been close to that scared in a race. I think I probably went, oh, before I got hit. I don't even know.
Yeah, you said some words you didn't know you could.
That was pretty decisive.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad there wasn't any audio.
I would love to have heard that audio.
The next time we're going to hook up audio to you.
Yeah, I know.
No GoPros out to the race field.
It's all
right on the dash at his face.
No.
Oh, well. Hey, but maybe we'll try next time.
Not that you're an idiot by far, but I just love the statement. God protect
you. He really does. So that night, I should have died at least four times. At least four times. And we're in the dirt at Pahrump. As soon as we were getting ready to go, I was thinking, you know, it reminded me of my first days in the hobby stock way back when I was 16. I would get so nervous before we would go. You know, you'd be in line, and I would actually contemplate just pulling into my pit.
Wow.
But I could see my dad standing up there, and I knew he would be torqued if I pulled into the pit and said I'm not racing.
Yeah.
So I was more afraid of him than I was the race car, so I would go out. And it kind of, same thing before when we lined up for that derby. I had that same thing of, I could really just put this in drive and drive off the exit of the track.
How did I let this idiot drug this idiot into doing this?
How about the Friday night before when we had you hit just the car by itself?
Yeah, and that, you know, no one told me, oh, you got to keep your head straight when you hit those. So I'm looking backwards and about torqued my neck that time. But of course, I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't want to, you know, demasculate myself.
Exactly, yeah. Hey, I can handle this, you know.
Yeah, I'm tough. I'm tough. I drive a modified. I can handle it.
Right, I can handle
the station wagon.
This is a piece of cake.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. And then I wanted him to go to Hurricane with us and run it in Hurricane.
Those are some
and that is
up there.
Proof. That is proof. I mean, if you don't believe in God or whatever, I'm not very religious myself, but God does protect idiots because he kept me out of the car for that. They threw the green on that first heat or whatever they called it in Hurricane. And
yeah, they run heats.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think the first hit was 10 times harder than my biggest hit during that race.
Yeah.
And
those boys mean business.
And when they lifted the car up, the wagon that he was in, they lifted it up and paraded it around.
With the forklift, they picked
it
up.
Drove it around. And Dan come to me later on that evening, and he was like, and you wanted me to drive that thing?
Yeah. No,
he had went up and watched.
Was that the one where he actually got crunched?
Yeah. No, that's the one where they ripped the rear end from my boat. And it was only being held on with one bolt.
Wow.
I mean, it was, what, 12 feet in the air when they were trading
it
around?
It was red, white, and blue.
Yep,
that's the one.
When Dan drove it, and then we painted it black when we took it up
to Hurricane. Too.
Took it up to Hurricane, and it was all of three hits, and that thing was scissored, completely scissored, and Dan's going,
I'm glad I got in that.
That's
thing.
The car you put
yeah.
me in.
I was thinking I was a little country in Pahrump, but those guys up there are some good old country boys.
They spend entire years. Those guys spend entire years building a car.
Yeah, I don't know
just
how they
for that one event.
I don't know how they got the body on those tanks without us realizing they were actual military tanks.
Oh yeah,
those things were crushers.
Well, what was that one that when I went up there to watch you guys hit? How many welds on that car?
The guys had he put over 500 hours into welding.
Welding on
that was
one
Chuck.
Car.
Chuck, yeah.
That was Chuck. Put 500 hours. He had, like I said before, these guys pick a car and they spend the entire year building it just for that event.
Unbelievable.
And then I saw they had the trucks there.
Oh, those
and
were
that crazy. Hit in the trucks.
Sent that Tahoe over the wall.
Yeah,
is that the one you were?
I think it knocked down bridges in California. That hit was bad. It was like an earthquake, and they hit that Suburban over the edge.
Yep,
and that was over that K rail. He was over a K rail.
Okay, the guy who hit him is in one state of mind. Okay, but the guy in the Suburban is definitely out there because he drove that truck back in again after he got rolled over.
That's
out.
Funny.
He drove that truck back in. I give him credit for trying to go back in after that guy.
Wow.
Yeah, he had an excuse to tap out.
Yeah, he was out.
He didn't
he was tap
it.
Out. He's sitting passenger side outside of the ring, and he's telling these guys, flip me over. So they flip him over.
No way.
Hey, 2 minutes later, he's back up over and into the ring again.
Unbelievable.
I was like, no. He's not
all
there.
He's well protected.
I would have been like, okay, I'm out. Where's my flag? Break it. I'm good. See you next year.
Yeah, I'd have broken my flag after the first hit.
Yeah.
Without even getting hit.
They're
I'm
brutal
out.
Up there.
They are.
They mean business.
Wow.
It's big money event.
I've always said, when we go demolition derby in Utah, them guys try to flip you over. We go demo in California, them guys just want to beat you and disable your car. Wow. You know, these guys in Utah, they try to flip you over. It's like if they don't flip you over, they didn't succeed
yeah.
that night.
Yes,
but they'll get you next time.
Yeah.
So they didn't tell you all this before you got in the demo when you went in.
Yeah, and I had seen some demo derbies before, but I guess I just didn't think about it enough. I should have thought about it a little bit more. But I'm pretty sure Billy and JJ were, you know, running interference for me. And
I'm pretty sure
you
know.
They ran up for themselves, right?
Yeah.
I think
except for I wish they'd have blocked that black car from taking his lick. That would have been
I'm pretty sure neither one of them were.
You got the first lick from that black car, and then Billy and I finished it off.
Okay.
Well, all of a sudden we found out where the competition was.
Yeah.
So it wasn't running interference. It was like, oh, that was a bad hit on Dan.
Dan and I. We want him to do this again. We got to get him away.
Right. But it worked. He's not doing it again, is he?
No. Billy saw it. I saw it. And then all of a sudden we found out, oh, this guy means business. Okay, we know who we have to go after.
Yeah, he was.
You know?
He meant business.
Well, I'm sorry you're not going to get back in a demo car, but
easy way. Yeah. We may have one coming up here shortly, though.
But
no,
doesn't mean
no.
you can't get in a bomber car.
Doesn't mean you can't get in a bomber one.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Is
he owns a
skid plate
car.
No, I don't. The only thing that gets me where I need to go consistently, even my race car breaks.
The Ford Escort.
The Ford Escort goes and goes.
Well, that's good.
If I'm not mistaken, they build skid plates on the rims. They weld them on.
Take them on and off, right?
You can take them on.
Yeah, they're
on regular tires.
Drive it to the track.
Yeah,
transfer it over and drive it home.
Skids on it.
Well, Robert Sutherland, what he did that Friday night at LVMS, did the skid plate.
Oh, and then he raced.
Race, and then he put the tires back on and went down to Pahrump and raced that dirt car.
And I think he won the next.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it mini stock out of Pahrump? All he did was build skid plates, bolted them on. Okay, let's go.
It's actually nice that they can do that because it gives them another chance to do something else.
Sure.
You know?
Well, that's something that Andy DiDario did at Willow Springs.
Yeah.
We watch these guys run three different events that bolt on skid plates, and then they go run an enduro with it, and then they go run a mini stock race.
That's cool.
The same cars are out there, and I'm like, damn, that's a fun night. Three races in one night.
I remember Saga Speedway, you used to, in the street stocks, you had to run one main event on the figure eight and one main event on the oval. And they would come into the pits and change all these different things.
Oh, that's interesting. That's the first I ever heard of that.
Yeah, so half the points were on the figure eight and half the points were on the oval.
I like that.
So if if it was 50 to win, it was 25 and 25. So that's
you know what's crazy, though? Them guys down there at Saugus, they knew how to drive a figure eight race. I mean, them guys all in the street stock division. I knew a guy that raced down there. I used to watch the Saugus races. Them guys are good. They don't let up either, man. That's something else to watch them guys down there at Saugus back
in the really day. They were really good. And the track was tough to drive because it was flat, although the rumors were that the water would run to the outside of the racetrack if it ever rained, so it was like negative banking in the turn.
Yeah,
I would always like to do something, you know, set up a series, I had mentioned it before, six races, two on the bullring, two on the road course, and two on the drag strip.
So I think the drag strip is what's screwing you up. I think if you did the oval, and dirt, whatever.
Maybe two on the bullring, two on dirt.
And two on the road course.
Yeah, there
you go. Well, eight. Throw two on the drag strip, too.
There you go.
There's bonus points there for
that. There you go.
Give new meaning to Midnight Mayhem.
Make
sure the dirt races are last, because I don't think they would like the chunks of dirt bouncing off the strip.
There you go.
As you head down through the traps there.
So plan it on a Midnight Mayhem night. So.
Yeah. Two. Why not?
Although
that would be an interesting series. $100 buy-in. Okay. And you go run eight different races.
I did race my hobby stock on the road course out there one year. They ran us out there during the winter.
That's pretty
fun.
Cool.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I only had two gears, so I didn't really shift that often, but it was fun. I don't even remember how I finished.
Lately, our transmission is only running 2 years. Neutral and drive.
Yeah.
Neutral and park.
First and second, that's all I did.
Yeah. But, you know, that's
brings up a point as far as the road course and stuff. Do they even race that old course out there at LVMS anymore?
The
yeah,
road
they
course?
Do.
Yeah.
They do? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
There's quite a few cars that run out there even when we're testing. And
oh.
Yeah, they got a Porsche club, if
yeah.
I'm not mistaken. They got a Vet club. They got ICCSA.
I don't know.
Yeah, International Sports Club, ISCA, International Sports Club of America.
They also have the Winter Series for the INEX divisions, too,
oh,
where they run.
They run that course.
They
okay,
run,
I didn't
uh-huh,
know. I thought they ran inside.
There's a couple of there's a couple of different configurations on the outside one, and then I've seen them on the inside one, but I don't know if they're still on the inside one because of whoever's on the inside. Is it Exotics or Dream?
Dream.
Oh,
yeah, there's a couple. Okay. Yeah, there's a couple fantasy car racing.
Yeah, I don't think they run on the inside
on
anymore,
there.
But I've seen them on the outside. Something I might enjoy doing. Although
yeah.
A legend car is really, really small compared to everything I've been in. I would.
Have
I might freak out when I get
in there.
Have you
ever been in a? Never been in a legend car?
I never have.
Like
I never have.
Dwarf car maybe.
You're in a
the
Ford
Escort. I think a legend car is a little bit smaller.
That should be an easy transition.
Well, I might be walking home now.
Hey, Justin, talk to Silly. Maybe we can get him in a dwarf car. I know he can drive. So
those dwarf cars are fine.
I'm sure they are, but I don't know. I don't know.
Does it? I drove from a bomber to a dwarf car. That was a big jump, man. I was 6'6".
He's a big guy.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know how they got you in there. I really don't.
Well, she was short.
Mark Dilly.
Did you lay down? Or
right.
Mark Dilly is 6'3", and he's like a lot bigger than me, and he fit. That's his car, so.
Wow.
He has his floor pan dropped about 2 inches below the frame, so.
Oh, okay.
I had plenty of room.
Poor Dan will be swimming in that thing.
Well, we put Kevin Terrell in it, and Kevin Terrell, you guys met Kevin. He's only 2 foot nothing, so.
Put blocks on the pedals for him.
It's
Chris
just like
Chris
Trickle.
Yeah,
Chris Trickle ran it, and we had to put a cushion and a towel underneath him to seal the steering wheel, but.
He did a
good
job, by the way. He did a really good job.
He finished third
out
of nine, so
yeah, he did a good job. It's fun to watch him.
So how'd you make out? Not 10th, but we're down on Pahrump. How'd you do down in the modified race?
I ended up fifth, and it was funny because there was only 5 cars left, so I was last, and I was fifth at the same time. So
top five,
yeah,
right.
I guess.
19 cars started.
No, you were last on the lead lap.
Yeah. I was still last. Oh, the cars that were out there.
There was plenty of wrecks.
Yeah, it was. It was started straight up off the heat, so I was really glad that I. Afterwards, I was glad that I had won my heat, so I started up in the second row there and got up to second once, and then. Hit some water on the bottom, slid up, and somebody, Levi, of course, is going by on the outside, and we touched my right front, hit him, and he kind of lurched up, and it messed my steering wheel up where my steering wheel was off.
That's
and
nice.
It took me a couple of laps to figure out how far off it was, and I dropped, I dropped like a rock through water way back, I don't even know. I was in like 30th place or whatever it seemed like, and then finally got it back and just wasn't as good as the cars in front of me. So I finished fifth, and overall, not too bad.
Finish.
My neck killed me for the next day because I realized even though I have a headrest, I didn't grow up racing with a headrest, so I constantly hold my head up, and it was a 48 lap race on a fairly fast and rough racetrack, and. By about when they gave us a halfway sign, I thought, oh, seriously, only halfway?
This
has got to be a joke.
I feel like that when I'm at the bull ring or something. It's like 25 laps, there's like 5 more laps or so to go. I'm like, man, I wish this race was just over. I like racing, but sometimes they're just too long.
Yeah, sometimes you just can't wait.
No, they just seem too long.
Seem too long, yeah.
He's in his 40s. Gary, what's with this? He's in his 40s. He gets a headrest. I don't get a headrest. What's with
thanks,
that?
Dan.
I don't use it. I don't use it, obviously.
I don't use my headrest either.
It was like the last 5 laps. I thought, gosh, you could just lean your head against this thing.
You don't get a headrest because I'm afraid you go to sleep.
Hey, right. Yeah.
Do you still have a radio in there? Do you still have a radio? Do you still have a radio in there?
AM, FM,
no.
8-track.
Oh, no. You heard about that? That was a skid plate car that still had the stereo and maybe the air conditioning. I don't know. Something hooked up, and it was.
That's probably the one for sale.
It was funny. It was funny.
With AC.
Yeah,
one for sale. The Mercury Marquise I came out with in 01, the first year of the Bombers out there, I had an 8-track.
Nice.
Had the Beach Boys in it.
Nice.
8-track. Curtis Pilgrim, they were doing interviews. And I'm sitting there with the Beach Boys playing, and Curtis is like, what the hell is that? I said, that's my H. He says, you still got the A-track in the car? I said, yeah. I said, why not? With my Crush for War seat and my armrest.
Yeah. But he didn't have a headrest.
No.
You
got
a
headrest. I did.
The back one.
I didn't have a side one, but I had a back one.
Yeah. It's probably been the last 5 or 6 years that I had one on the side, but I just am not smart enough to just lean my head against it and let it go. I'm always holding it up, trying to fight it.
That's funny. What are you going to do, Dan, this year? You're going to race more? You're going to... What's the plan?
I need to race a little bit more.
You're going to try to get some...
Go on a diet?
I do need to go on a diet, too. That wouldn't hurt any. But...
I
do want to race.
Tracks that you want to
well,
Tony Baugh
has a 2-day show coming up.
Oh, that's right. It's
1,000 to win.
When is that, anyway? Do you guys know?
That's August 8th and 9th.
Butler Days?
No, Butler Days is already.
They call it something
past.
Else.
Marsh Days?
Marsh Classic.
That's what it is.
Marsh
Classic.
Jim Marsh Classic.
Yep, Jim Marsh
Classic.
One of them.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I won one of the days last year, so, you know, that was $1,000. It was nice to have.
That helps. That paid for the weekend.
Yeah, it was an all-star qualifier race, so it put me on the all-star ballot, although I won't be going to Boone, so I, you know, don't... Not sure that I would get voted in anyway, but, you know...
You made yourself eligible.
Yes.
That's an IMCA thing?
It's an all-star race. They have it Super Nationals every year, which is the second week of school, and... You know, trying to convince the boss that you need days off and
you need
to miss the entire second week of school. That's really not the time you want to be missing school. Of course, they say kids make up their mind whether they're going to work for you or not within the first hour of seeing you. So, you know, the first day is critical.
First day.
I guess it doesn't really matter if it's day 6 or 10.
That's funny. So, for sure, you're going to try to make Tonopah, so that's one race.
Tonopah, and then the Duel in the Desert.
Yeah, you're going to do the Duel this year? Something in the plan?
Horrible race.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Horrible at that race. It's so easy to find me. Just start at the back and go forward. You'll find me really quick because I just don't. It's probably my attitude. I'm just not into it.
You don't go into
it. There's so much pressure. Everybody, you know, no one goes to watch you race all year, and then they come out there and family and friends. Oh, I thought you were good. How come you're not up at the front? I thought you won all those trophies.
200 cars are the best of the best.
Yeah.
No matter what, I think Dan can outdrive everybody at this table right now. So.
Exactly.
I'm not sure. Put me in a bondo and I would be lost, dazed, and confused.
Maybe if I had a headrest.
Thanks, Dan.
Well, cool. We'll look for Dan at Duel in the Desert.
Yeah. Who knows? This might be your year. It hasn't been your year.
This
might be it.
You've made it in the Duel.
I think I've made it in 5 different occasions, and I think 8th was my best finish in the in the A feature. But
that's great.
Wow.
Yeah, I think
only
was,
in the A feature. No,
that was
nice.
4 or 5 different presidents ago. I don't know.
we got some coming up.
That's when Slick Willie was being Slick.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're, of course, as usual, we're always got 90
time's
seconds
up.
Left. You got sponsors or anybody?
Right now I'm down to one. I have Eisel Motorsports, friends of mine from Iowa, and then other than that, it would be Clark County School District Salary Fund, I guess.
PERS Fund.
I don't know if there's going to be any of that. Anyway,
I know.
Yeah,
we won't talk about that.
Yeah, but that's it. I
no raises for you, by the way. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'll shut up.
No raises either. You don't even have to. I don't even worry about that. It's probably a given. I'd rather just. I enjoy my job though, so I'll keep it that.
We'll leave it at that. You know, thanks, Dan Fitzgerald, the 87N. Look for him at the Duel in Desert. Of course, coming up in the Tonopah races. So look on Tonopah. You can go to the BomberNation.com website. thanks again, Dan Fitzgerald, for being here.
Thanks, guys. Good luck on your own cars, and see you at the track.
Yeah, we'll see you live next Tuesday at 6 p.m. on WheelsNow.com. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening.